In studio with me, I have Yolanda Roetman, who is the clinical coordinator at Vista Clinic, currently heading up the partial hospitalization division, holding a master's degree in social work in healthcare with 10 years experience in mental health. Fantastic, Yolanda, to have you in studio on Impact 103 FM's Morning Drive. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yolanda, I've given a short bio, but what exactly does your role mean?
Well, I'm kind of a jack of all trades. My job is merely to connect the theoretical aspects of psychiatry as well as with just functional groups. So what we do is therapy groups, community groups, in hospital, just kind of making sure everyone is where they need to be when they need to be there. So it's quite a fun job, I have to say.
So it's people going to groups inside hospitals for these discussions?
Yes. So people who are admitted at Vista Clinic, we have a therapeutic program. Then they attend groups, life skill groups, support groups. And then currently we have the partial hospitalization, which is for individuals who don't necessarily want to stay over or do not have the need for overnight hospitalization. And they come then during the day for a day program where we kind of do therapy groups and life skill support groups.
Is that more on a voluntary basis where they want to be part of those groups and those discussions?
Vista Clinic is a voluntary hospital, so we do not commit individuals who are not there and of their own accord.
Okay. Well, then it's probably, if I can say, easier to work with people like that because they don't feel forced into that environment. They're obviously feeling that they are at a stage where they need to talk and make the corrective measures, take the corrective measures.
It is. It's an incredible brave thing. And unfortunately, there's a big stigma around mental health and seeking mental health support. So people are very scared coming to the clinic, you know, because, oh no, what's going to happen? What does it entail? But it's a very brave thing to come and say, you know what? I need support. I need someone to help me. The help is out there. So yes, it is helpful working with, but it's hard. And I think a lot of people kind of lose motivational steam kind of when they get there, like I want to do this, but the work is hard because it's what you put in and you need to work at it. So it is difficult.
People need to work at it at an individual level, but also they need the support around them to make sure that that individual that has put in the effort to take that major step mentally, it's a major step to attend these courses.
That is so important. Support of the community is one of the indicating factors if someone is going to do well on this journey or if they may suffer a relapse. So doing this, getting the support, making people aware, breaking the stigma of mental health issues is so important because the more we talk about it, the more we can support people, the more we're there for each other, we kind of really take the bite away from mental illness and making people more aware. So they're more willing to seek help, they're more willing to talk, they're more willing to say something's up, help me. And that's what we want. And that's also why we're here today.
Yolanda, who is at the higher risk for committing suicide?
The main thing that we need to understand is that suicide does not discriminate against age, gender, race, economic status. It really doesn't. But in South Africa, the groups identified currently are teenage boys and older men. Yes. Although women are more likely to attempt suicide, men are 4 times more likely than women to actually go through and successfully committing suicide. And I blame our culture to a large extent for that because we have the stigma that you just have to be strong, you know, just buck up. Boys, you know, be strong. Men don't cry. And that stigma has contributed a lot to when people in this situation, that they don't reach out, that they don't talk about what's going on. They put on that mask. I say people with depression are the best maskers out there because they build this mask, they go out, they smile. You would never say, hey, that person's depressed. And then something like this happens, like an attempted suicide or they commit suicide. And people very often say, I didn't see it coming. I didn't know. How could we have possibly not seen this?
Yolanda, are there triggers that make people fall into that trap of mental health where they just feeling they just can't get out of it? Are there triggers? Is it a build up? Is it a bit of both? How does it work?
Each individual is an individual. So it really depends from person to person. We as human beings are such a complex system that we ourselves don't always understand why we do stuff or why we behave in a specific manner. And then combining that complexity of the human with the complexity of the world that's out there, it just kind of leads to us not really having the answers of why people do this. Why do they make the decision for that? But contributing factors very often is feeling like hopelessness, having no motivation to kind of deal with life's problems, feeling overwhelmed, not having the necessary skills to really deal with the problem. And then people lean towards those choices.
Do you think that people don't even, like you say, they don't know why they act like they do, but they don't know where the root of their mental health state is?
Definitely. Very often, like I said, it's something in our culture, in our society that we don't talk about. People don't have the capacity very often, the emotional language to say, I'm struggling, it's going hard, I don't always know what I'm thinking or feeling. And with now combining that with this very busy go, go, go lifestyle, people don't have the time to actually sit back and say, but let me check in with myself, let me check in with my beliefs, let me check in with my mind, body, spirit, to see if we're all pulling in the same direction. And when that is kind of out of whack, sometimes it does lead to mental health illness and then also people making decisions like ending their life.
Yolanda, you said that suicide does not discriminate, which means that you don't reach a certain age and then all of a sudden you are able to decide whether you want to commit suicide or not. So the parents out there that have younger children that do not know, they're still figuring out life, let alone their own emotions. What are warning signs that parents can look out for?
Warning signs most people can look out for is when people start talking about being hopeless, not seeing a way out, feeling overwhelmed, saying things like, oh, people will just be better off if I weren't here. My life would be so much easier if I could just end it all now. So very often people start using those language. They become very recluse, that's what, antisocial sometimes. But once again, it depends. You know, some people, they don't have those signs. They put on that smile and they go out in the world and you wouldn't say that there's anything wrong. So I think the main thing to prevent suicide, or at least try, is just listen, be there. Break the stigma, create a happy family life, talk about it. When people start saying these things, when they start giving away their possessions, when they start constantly saying, you know, I love you.
More than usual.
More than usual. Very important.
Maybe more affectionate than usual also.
That can also be signs when they really start saying things like, I'm struggling. Listen to the words people are saying. But, you know, once again, some people might be sitting here like Christy are saying, but Yolanda, you said these things to me and it wasn't there. I didn't see that. So it's not saying that these are the telltale signs and you have to have a tick box and tick them, because for some people they're there, for others they aren't.
Christia is also in studio. Christia Ace was in studio last week also talking about this. She's come from experience, the loss of her husband about 2 years ago. And she's listening now to Yolanda and saying, and probably having a lot of thoughts and thinking, where did I see signs? Did I see signs? Did I miss signs? What do you want to weigh in on that, Christia?
So, yes, specifically. And I said to her outside, unfortunately, when it happens and you sit with this loss, you blame yourself and you sit with a lot of guilt. So I want to say to those out there that sits with the guilt, it's tough. And we better talk about that. Otherwise, we might go in the same spiral. And it's important to know that I don't think you can influence it always, because if I look at our situation, my husband didn't show signs. We all tried to look at it, friends, family, everybody. And I want to say, she said something important, listen and then be kind. And I think life gets so busy that we miss one another. We miss it because we're almost like ships. Jobs are busy, social media, kids driving everywhere, social life, getting to everybody. And I tend to think if I look at my situation, I might have missed signs. And I would always sit with that guilt. But if you just make time, so it doesn't have to be, you know, like every day, but make sure you try to tune in with your kids, because kids like to, teenagers, close their doors and sit behind them, but make sure when they want to talk, you're available, and try to make time for just you. If it's a husband, a partner, parents, try to get to them. It's not always easy with our busy life, so I don't want others to go through what myself and Carla and Ilse and lots of others go through, because it's really tough. And I said to her, the aftermath, it just keeps on giving. It just keeps on coming back. So yeah, the thoughts first when I read it, it was, no, but then I should have prevented it. And it's not always that easy. But what I can say is, if you can, try to be kinder, try to be there for one another, try to solve any conflict that you might have. Because if you leave it, you're going to sit with guilt later, because everybody I spoke to have different guilt about different things. And lots of people that lost their partners, it's because they had fights and then in the spurt of the moment. And then I want to say something else for those that did lose somebody. I still want to talk about Jaco. I want to share, because he made one wrong decision. And I don't want everybody to forget him about that. So important, keep on talking about that person, because they're still a huge portion of your life. So yeah, thanks. That's what I want to share with people.
Christia, thank you so much. I can hear that you are giving in your hurts, and it's wonderful. You are really sharing and helping somebody that's listening to this that has either experienced it or is considering suicide. I think just the last question I'd like to ask you, Yolanda, is you've told people if they're considering suicide that they need to talk about it. And you've mentioned that we need to look out for warning signs by the different ways that they're acting, things that they are doing, things that they are saying. But how do you respond? And I'm talking from a Christian community also, because you don't want to Bible bash. You can't Bible bash somebody. Somebody does not want to hear a scripture. They want somebody to be there and show them Jesus in their actions. But how do we respond without, first of all, being shocked? Like, what do you mean? There is light at the end of the tunnel. What do you mean? You're not spiraling. You got a whole family here that loves you. Everybody loves you around here. How can you think those thoughts? How do we respond in a loving way back to somebody that is reaching out and saying, this is just how they see life?
That's a very important thing. You know, it's human nature to try and give answers. It's human nature to kind of say, but look at the positive, look at all the great things that you have. And very often these people are aware of that. It actually contributes more to the guilt, because they were able to see, but I have a loving family. I'm blessed. And yet I still have these feelings. So it's about not giving that judgment. It's about, you don't have to have the answers. Don't be that person where now, oh, I have to be that person. I have to have the answers. I have to say something. I have to. You can literally just be and say, you know what you're going through is hard. I get that. I see that. I don't always know what to do. I don't always know what to say. But can I connect you with resources? And they know your resource, a helpline, Vista Clinic. There are suicide awareness hotlines, SADAC, you know, there's so much information that you can get. So connect them with people that can assist them. You don't have to have all the answers. It's sometimes easy to say, I don't know, I don't have the answers, but I'm willing to search for them with you. I'm willing to be there with you as you go through this. You don't have to go through this alone. And that's from an individual who's outside of that. That's the most they can actually do. They can just say, I'm willing to walk with you.
I've got a listener that's sent through a WhatsApp saying, what if you've reached out, be very bland about speaking out about it, but nobody is taking you seriously?
That's a difficult one. And when people start talking about suicide, it should always be taken seriously. Always, always, always. My advice to this listener would just be, if you're at that point where you are able to identify signs within yourself and you're able to ask for help, keep asking help. Because people don't always know how to react, they say things like that, you know, oh, just, you'll be fine, you'll be okay, just look at all the positive. Keep on searching until you find what is going to help you. So if maybe the people close to you are not responding in the manner that you would like them to, there are professional helps out there. Reach out.
And also trained and qualified as well, that can maybe even see and hear something that is at the root of those feelings. Thank you so much, Yolanda Roetman, who is the clinical coordinator at Vista Clinic and heads up the partial hospitalization division. Also to Christia Ace for being in this morning on The Morning Drive for week 2 of the You Matter series. Tune in on